From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
We're delighted to welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. In just a few minutes, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. On today's program, Dr. Cairns continues his series in the book of Joshua, taking his text from chapter 22. The earlier portions of the chapter relate the reaction of the 9.5 tribes when they heard that the tribes of Reuben and Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh had built an altar of their own on the east side of the Jordan. War was averted only when Joshua learned that those tribes had built that altar as a memorial to God and as a reminder to their children that they were part of the people of Israel. In our text, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar the priest, responds to the happy outcome with these words, "This day we perceive that the Lord is among us." Whether in the church or in our personal lives, nothing is more important than the assurance that the Lord is with us. So how can we recognize the Lord's presence? As Dr. Cairns has shown, the first mark of God's presence is a preeminent emphasis upon the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, the presence of the Lord will keep His people pure in doctrine and in practice. There will be faithful adherence to the truth of the Scriptures, as well as worship which is worthy of the God of heaven and earth. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, Evidences of the Lord's Presence Among His People. First, please enjoy this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, taken from the writings of C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text is found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah and verse 1, three simple words, Mighty to Save. By the words to save, we understand the whole of the great work of salvation, from the first holy desire onward to complete sanctification. The words are much in little. Indeed, here is all mercy in one word. Christ is not only mighty to save those who repent, but He is able to make men repent. He will carry those to heaven who believe, but He is moreover mighty to give men new hearts and to work faith in them. He is mighty to make the man who hates holiness love it, and to constrain the despiser of His name to bend the knee before Him. Nay, this is not all the meaning, for the divine power is equally seen in the afterwork. The life of a believer is a series of miracles wrought by the mighty God. The bush burns, but is not consumed. He is mighty to keep His people holy after He has made them so, and to preserve them in His fear and love until He consummates their spiritual existence in heaven. Christ's might doth not lie in making a believer and then leaving him to shift for himself, but He who begins the good work carries it on. He who imparts the first germ of life in the dead soul prolongs the divine existence and strengthens it until it bursts asunder every bond of sin and the soul leaps from earth, perfected in glory. Believer, here is encouragement. Art thou praying for some beloved one? Oh, give not up thy prayers, for Christ is mighty to save. You are powerless to reclaim the rebel, but your Lord is almighty. Lay hold on that mighty arm and rouse it to put forth its strength. Does your own case trouble you? Fear not, for His strength is sufficient for you. Whether to begin with others or to carry on the work in you, Jesus is mighty to save, the best proof of which lies in the fact that He has saved you. What a thousand mercies that you have not found Him mighty to destroy.
More than the stars in the heavens.
What is it that constitutes revival? Is it a week of special meetings held at a local church? Is it an organized effort at door-to-door evangelism? Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England and Wales under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches had to be built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity and ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of the personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times on the Isle of Lewis. Also, we offer a CD containing Duncan Campbell's own account of that remarkable visitation by God. The CDs are $5 each, which includes postage and handling. Or you may order both CDs for just $8. To obtain your own copy, you may simply send a check for either or both CDs made out to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just request the CDs of The Revival on the Isle of Lewis. If you wish, you may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. You will be greatly blessed as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work.
When the Holy Spirit works, at times there is such a manifestation of the holiness and the majesty of God that men are smitten to the ground and they cry out to God in an awful agony of soul. At times when the Holy Spirit works, there are physical manifestations of power. You see this in revival after revival. But those are only what we could call the accidental. And I use that in its theological and more philosophical meaning. I don't mean a mere chance. These are the mere accidents of the Holy Spirit's working. These are the things that fall alongside the Spirit's working. They are not the essential evidence of the Spirit's working. And if that is not grasped, it'll lead us into real trouble. If you go back to the Second Great Awakening here in the United States, you'll discover God began to work in marvelous ways. Sinners were saved. There was a tremendous move of God. There was, especially around the turn of the century, around the year 1800, 1801, there was a move of God through these southern states in which the Holy Spirit began to bring before men such a demonstration of the majesty and holiness of God that men were prostrated. But then came along some people who noted those accidents of the Spirit's moving. And they began to cultivate means to produce those things. And that led to all sorts of extravagances and fanaticism and folly and sin. So much as where they took place, they grieved away the Holy Spirit. This movement found its greatest expression, though not always its most outlandish expression, in the rationalistic, and I use the word advisedly, in the rationalistic theology of Charles Finney, who began to promote his works and his books on how to promote a revival. Until that time, nobody ever had a notion of promoting a revival. The church would get before God and lament the deadness and the coldness and the need, and would stay before God until God broke through. But now we had men promoting a revival. And more often than not, what they were doing was promoting these external accidents that sometimes went along with the presence of God. And the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ were either ignored or downplayed or perverted. That's why I hate to hear fundamentalists claiming Mr. Finney as their spiritual forebear, because no theologian this country has ever produced, yet clinging to the name of orthodoxy, has ever perverted the doctrine of the work of Christ and the doctrine of saving grace more than he. What is the evidence of the Spirit's working among the people of God? Unfailingly, he glorifies the person and work of Christ as he is set forth in the Holy Scriptures. We see that in the book of Acts. You read that great revival sermon in Acts chapter 2. Did it ever strike you as you were reading that? And I'm sure you've thought of this. I don't think I'm the only one whose brain works this way. When I first began to consider that sermon, I looked at it and said, what's so wonderful about it? What's so different about it? I'm going to make this statement. There is not a revival, so-called, going on in America today where that sermon would even get a hearing. Now, This is not spectacular. At least it doesn't sound it to us. Actually, it is in its proper context. This is just a statement of the person and of the work, the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what it is. That was the mark of God in the midst. And I tell you, if you look at every true revival, that is the central mark. If you look at every true church, that is the central mark. That is the touchstone of whether or not the Lord is there. Now, many people claim the presence of God. Many people work up an atmosphere which masquerades as the presence of God. Whether in revival, there's a revival going on. I say, quotes, revival going on in Florida at the moment, the last I heard, almost 70,000 people had been converted. Part of the laughing revival. That abject, diabolical folly of the South African evangelist Howard Rodney Brown. When you preach on hell, the people laugh. When you mention the cross, they split their sides with laughter. And then they try to tell you this is the work of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, that's the work of another spirit. Not revival. It's not the presence of God. It's the absence of God. The absence of God. Because the presence of God inevitably is marked by making much of the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the touchstone every claim to have the presence of God. No amount of mummery and mystery, such as you have in the Church of Rome, with the vestments, the sweet incense, and all the pomp and all the pageantry, creating a mysterious atmosphere, all that not create the presence of God. No amount of emotionalism and excitement has generated and so much of the modern charismatic hysteria can generate the presence of God. None of this can hide this fundamental truth where Jesus Christ and his person and his work are not preached. God is not present to bless. When I heard a leading charismatic preacher, I'm not going to name him because it's not the man I want to attack in any particular way, but I heard this man who had come upon an amazing revelation. Now, this is after years and years of worldwide quotes ministry. What was this revelation? That Christians are in Christ. And it was so new to him, he could not describe it. He could only fumble and mumble round a couple of texts. He could not expound them. He had never studied it. He had never preached it. This is after years and years of so-called ministry. And I come to you today with this question. If a man says he is the presence of God and he's preaching the gospel and he has never even discovered the union of the believer with Christ, what has he been preaching? He can't preach the cross. He can't preach justification. He can't preach acceptance with God. He can't preach imputed righteousness. All those things are understood only in union with Christ. But oh, there were outstanding demonstrations of the presence of God. He could snap his fingers and people would fall at his feet. He could blow on them as he often did, pretending to do what Jesus did when he breathed on the disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." He could blow on them and a whole bunch of people would flop at his feet. That's the presence of God. But never a sermon, never an inkling of the true work of Jesus Christ. And fundamentally wrong on the person of Jesus Christ. And totally at sea on the doctrine of the Trinity of God. In fact, his famous statement was, regarding the Holy Trinity, really, there are nine of them. And I'm asked to believe that he is the presence of God. No, sir. No, sir. The presence of God is evidenced first by making much of the person and the work of Jesus Christ as expounded in this book. Second, the presence of God keeps his people pure in doctrine and in practice. This is what impressed Phinehas when he came to the 2.5 tribes in the altar of Ed. We see this in verse 31 in our text. This day we perceive that the Lord is among us. Why? Because ye have not committed this trespass against the Lord. And later down in verse 34, the altar will be an altar of witness between us that the Lord is God. These people were kept pure in doctrine and in practice. There had been there a great potential for apostasy and schism, neither of which developed. The reason was the Lord's presence among his people. Now, this is always the gracious evidence of God working amongst his people. He keeps them in the purity of the faith.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.